Not Phil. I'm taking over from him for this last section. Phil's encouraged us to investigate Jesus' resurrection and the rest of the Christian faith. Now we're going to see what Jesus instructed his disciples to do just before he ascended to heaven. So we're going to read Matthew 28 and verse 16 to 20. That's on page 1007 if you've got a church Bible. I think I need to get some of my voice back first. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." These are the last recorded words of Jesus in Matthew's Gospel, and it's instructions to Jesus' remaining disciples. Remember, one of them, Judas, is dead now. He's hanged himself after betraying Jesus. And these words given to the 11 disciples don't just apply to them, but they apply to us today as the church in the 21st century and to every individual believer as well. Look at verse 17 with me just for a second. Not all of them were happy to be there. Some of them were worshipping Jesus. Some of Jesus' disciples doubted. Some of them were still unsure whether this was real, probably fearful they might be arrested by the authorities for saying they'd been with Jesus after he died and risen again. But Jesus' first words to his disciples are ones of comfort. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." If that is true of Jesus, if he is really in control and really has authority over everything, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you can find comfort in that. You don't need to be afraid of what Jesus is asking you to do. What is he telling them to do? It's three very simple things that we're just going to look at very quickly. The first thing he says is, "Go therefore, make disciples of all nations." Jesus instructs his disciples to go and make more disciples. He obviously considered them able to do it, otherwise he wouldn't have asked it of them. But remember, some of them were still doubting before Jesus started speaking. Some of them weren't sure if this was even real still. And they were up to the task. Absolutely. Jesus is going to equip them for that task, which we'll find a bit more about later on. You may not feel, if you're a Christian this morning, that you're very mature, perhaps, or sorted, in inverted commas. But if you're a disciple of Jesus, then you're commanded by Jesus himself to go and make more disciples. And you're already equipped with everything that you need as a Christian. You know the wonderful good news of Jesus we've been hearing about this morning. His life lived on your behalf, his death in your place, his rising from the dead on your behalf, so you can know and love God as your Father. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. You are equipped to tell people about Jesus and to make more disciples. The question is, are we being obedient to that? It's a question we all need to ask ourselves, and as a church too. Are we looking for opportunities to be obedient to that command, to go and make disciples? The second thing Jesus says to his disciples, moving swiftly on, is he commands them to baptize new disciples in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which is what will be happening with Debbie, God willing, next week. She recently became a disciple of Jesus. I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, by the way. She got to know him through coming to church, spending time with people who already knew him. Margaret, Maria, Helen, and others as well. She sat down with them and read the Bible with them to find out who Jesus is and what he's done. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, I encourage you to just come alongside the person who you came with this morning and ask to look through these things with them. Sit down together, look at the Bible, and find out who Jesus is. And if then you are a disciple of Jesus, the logic of the Great Commission, which is what this is that Jesus is saying, is that you should be baptized as a way of welcoming you into the family and symbolizing your new relationship with Jesus. And so if you are a disciple of Jesus this morning, but you haven't been baptized, then you should consider it. Come speak to me, come speak to Phil about what that means. The third thing Jesus tells his disciples to do after making disciples and baptizing them is verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. New disciples need to be taught. We need to be taught to live the way Jesus wants us to live. So we receive the good news of Jesus, his death, his resurrection. That's wonderful, but it needs to continue. It's not just a one-time thing and that's it. We're meant to live a life of repentance and faith. It doesn't just happen once. And this is all of our jobs, to teach new believers as the church, not just Phil's job or my job or anyone else's. We're to make sure we take care of new believers, show them what a godly life looks like. Again, if you feel like you're not up to the task, Jesus has a word of encouragement for you at the end. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, after Jesus says this, he ascends into heaven, which Matthew doesn't actually record for us. So we're going to flick to the book of Acts instead, and we're going to read what Luke says about the ascension there. That's on page 1095, if you've got a church Bible. I'm going to read verse 6 and 11, 6 to 11, because we see the same principle there, that Jesus is with us till the end. So this is Acts 1, verse 6 to 11. So when they, the disciples, had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Their view is quite small, you see. It's not all authority in heaven or on earth. They're just thinking about Israel. Jesus said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus broadens their horizons, you see. And when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Jesus tells his disciples, notice, exactly how he's going to be with them. He isn't with them bodily anymore. He's ascended to heaven. But he's with them by the Holy Spirit, who equips them to do all they need to do. Just as an encouragement for you, if you're a believer, the Spirit lives in you. You are equipped with everything you need. Just before we finish up, the ascension is really important, and people often don't talk about it. It's kind of just a sort of add-on at the end. But Jesus' ascension proves to us not only is Jesus alive and risen from the dead, which he is, and that's wonderful, he's alive and he is on the throne of the universe as king over everything. That's why he can say, go, I've got the authority in heaven and on earth. And from heaven, he is there continually pouring blessing on his people, on his church, by his Holy Spirit, so that we can do the work he's called us to do. And that's important. It's still from Jesus that we are empowered to do his work. If you're not a Christian this morning, let me just turn your attention to verse 11. This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go. Jesus will return to earth a second time, in the same way he ascended. So not like the first time, not born as a baby, living a whole human life, dying, rising, ascending. No, it's different this time. He will come with the clouds. Now, that's not a weather report, okay? When it says that a cloud hid him from view, it's not, it was cloudy and 26 degrees and a lovely day in Jerusalem that day. No, clouds in the Bible are to do with judgment, you see. You can find that in Daniel 7 if you want to look it up. Jesus is going to come in judgment at the end. Now, he knows everything we've done, everything we've thought, and he will judge us according to that. And if you haven't repented of your sin, you haven't put your faith in Jesus, then there isn't any hope for you on that day. So it is important that you make up your mind about Jesus now. Because one day it will be too late, but don't delay. Speak to the person you came with this morning. Speak to me, speak to Phil, speak to someone who knows Jesus here this morning. They can talk to you more about him, about why his death, his resurrection is so important. They'd be more than happy to talk to you about what following Jesus means and what that looks like. You can come to know Jesus today because of all his work on the cross, because of his rising from the dead, because he is king of the universe right now. Turn from your sin, trust in him. There's no other way that you'll be able to stand that judgment. I'm going to pray for us quickly before we sing again. Let's pray. Lord God and Father, we thank you for the work you've given your church to do. And we ask that you would equip us by your Holy Spirit to do it. Thank you, Jesus, that you reign over all things, that one day you will come again in judgment. And Father, we ask that those here this morning who don't know you would turn away from their sin and put their faith in Jesus and in all that he has done. By your Spirit, we ask that you would make people alive this morning, that they can walk in newness of life. To your glory, and in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing again to close. We're going to sing You're the Word of God the Father again, followed by Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Just reminds us that Jesus is ascended, he is king over everything, and he's the one who's going to change us and use us for his glory. Let's stand.